Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to the show. We're so glad you're here with us tonight, and we have a very special guest that's going to be on with us here in just a couple of minutes. Until then, I would like to thank the Want Institute for bringing us to be here with you each and every Thursday. And as we head into the holidays, we may not be here on one of our Thursdays. You may be listening to a repeat of our show, which is always a benefit. And speaking of that, you can always listen to all of our archives at latalkradio.com. Dr. Allen, you're live on the air. All right. We're going to have a very special guest this evening. If you're looking for an appointment with Dr. Allen, the way to do that is to reach out to info@drpatallen.com via email, and you can set up an appointment.
Hello.
Hi, Patricia. Is that you?
It is indeed.
Oh, welcome to the show. We're so glad you're here with us tonight, Dr. Allen. Well, I've got the two Patricias, Patricia and Patricia. All right, ladies, you're on.
Well, okay. Here I am. Patricia. Hello. Yes.
Did you hear yesterday, or I did a commercial for you in Pharma Group about your book. And
well, thank you.
I just want you to know.
I'm appreciative of that, and I'm here to help. I'm here for people when they need me, and the book you're referring to is The Dream Class, Know Your Dreams, Know Yourself. And it is a beautiful book, as you know.
Yes, it is.
Besides the content.
It qualifies as a coffee table book.
That's right. It has 22 dreamlike images in it, besides all the deep content. So I'm like I said, I'm available, and my website is The Dream Class, and we talk about how to capture your dreams. Was one of the first things that I give people is how to capture your dreams. And that is, this is the takeaway for today, which is the takeaway on how to capture your dreams is to keep a pad and pen by the bed or a recording device.
Right.
And We set our limen, which is the state of consciousness between wake and sleep, and the reverse, sleep and wake. So we are in that state of consciousness for a 3 to 4 minute period where we can capture our dreams. So even people who think they don't dream or say they don't remember their dreams, this is the key. You tell yourself the night before you go to sleep, I'm going to remember my dream. Start there. Later on, I teach people how to feed the subconscious other planted seeds so they can work on things. But at least say, I'm going to remember my dream. And upon waking, here's the key, as you well know, Pat, to keep your eyes closed for that 3 to 4 minute period while you're still in the limen state, as in subliminal limen. So we keep our eyes closed.
Which, by the way, is also a good book by Leonard Mlodinow.
Right. Called Subliminal. That's right. It's called Subliminal.
Right.
Yes. So while we're still in that state, we can capture the images. And I suggest you keeping your eyes closed. It's imperative to keep your eyes closed while you grab the writing implement or recording device and scribble a few words. It's not necessary to write the whole scenario right then, but write down, cat, beach, tree, whatever, a few of the symbols, the images that you see. Later on, you can tie the story together. But if you write down those images, record those images, then you will start building a practice. And dream work is a practice, like yoga or golf or playing the violin or anything else. You get better at it over time. So that's our first takeaway. Then later on, we talk about the symbols and what they mean. And then what's important is how to connect the dots from the dreams and the symbols to your waking life. And that's where we get the personal growth and transformation. So we're decoding images so that we can get deeper insights into our daily lives. And particularly, Pat, during these difficult times, I'm getting calls from all over the country and even outside of the country with people who are having scary dreams. We don't call them nightmares. Some people call them...
What are nightmares?
Well, nightmares, people refer to, you and I call them scary images, because all dreams wish us well, even if they come to us with scary images.
Great.
And the scary images are just that. They're images that are bringing us a profound message.
And the message that, is good.
And the message is good for us. So we're taking, it's a little bit of medicine to get to the other side of understanding how we need to proceed in our waking life. So there is a connection between our subconscious mind, our subliminal messages that come through the dream state, to our waking state and our waking lives that can help us, excuse me, in our personal growth and transformation, and bringing us answers to how to resolve issues, whether it be relationship issues, whether it be business issues. It's all of our things we deal with in every aspect of our life. Is there, the messages are there to help move us forward, even when we feel stuck. If we capture our dreams, come forth with the crazy, everyone says, I had the craziest dream. Well, they all seem a little crazy, but once you decipher them, we break them down and correlate it, connecting the dots to your waking life. I get, oh, my God, that's so true. Oh, I get it. I get these ahas every day with the thanking me how they can now understand what they need to do so they can move forward in situations.
How did you ever get into this part of the business?
Well, I was initially in the health field for many, many years and ran a health clinic in the 80s and 90s with my former partner, and alternative health clinic. And then I met you over 25 years ago, got deeper into the psychology aspect of my natural healing practice. And there I also... my own work stemmed from my night terrors growing up as a child, from my childhood traumas of being kidnapped and molested as a five-year-old. So my work in the natural healing field, segueing to psychology, being a transactional analyst, and specifically diving into the dream work was my path.
So... do you have an office, or where do you do your work?
Yes, nowadays we all have our home offices, right? So
yes,
I can be reached. My website is The Dream Class, and I can be reached through my website. And locally, I'm in Los Angeles on Pacific time. So my office telephone number is 310-454-0684. That's the office number. And the website has all kinds of information. The book can be found on Amazon. The Dream Class.
Can be found on Amazon. It has excellent reviews, including a wonderful review from Dr. Kim, the Yin and Yang wife. And if you order it today, it's a beautiful book. If you order it today, it can be to you by Thursday. Merry Christmas. What a wonderful gift.
Thank you, Kelly. Yes, we've got nearly 30 five-star reviews. And it's the book tour, the physical book tour had been canceled due to circumstances, as we all know. But I've been being hired to different groups have been hiring me to speak at churches, their temples, their women's groups. And people have been having me do talks about the book and get into it more deeply.
What is the most unique thing you've learned from me?
The most unique thing, and this is the bent that you and I worked on, and you mentored me through the process of writing this book, and so appreciative of that, is the masculine and feminine aspects with the yin and yang of our brains and our psyche, and how it comes forward in our dream world to decipher things even more clearly. And I don't know anyone else who has brought it to this level of...
I don't either.
You, thank you, it's true. We really, really honed the androgynous, the yin and yang aspects of a person's psyche through dream work in this book more than any other thing we've studied ever. So
have you anything else you want to say? Otherwise, I'm going to go back to service.
I love your service. I appreciate your service, and I'm here to serve as well. So, I thank you for honoring me, having me come onto your show and honoring me with promoting the book, which is a gift. I believe this book is a gift too.
And you are very gifted in this business, this dream business.
Thank you, Pat. I so appreciate it. And I tell everybody to listen to this show because they can... get what they need, that's for sure.
Even if they don't like it.
That's right. Even if they don't like it.
Okay.
And please, my one thing too is always remember our dreams wish us well.
Yes. They're scary, nightmarish images, but God is designing the world of dreams.
Thank you. Well,
thank you so much, Patricia. We really appreciate you being here with us tonight. I want to remind everybody it's www.thedreamclass.com, and you can find her book, Dream Class, on Amazon. Patricia Alpinge, excellent reviews, a beautiful book.
Thank you, Kelly. See you all soon.
Bye bye.
Good.
Bye bye.
It really is a lovely looking book. Again, you can get it before Christmas. If you've got somebody you love who's been tangling and, wrestling with their dreams, a book inspired by Dr. Allen's work with Patricia Altench, very exciting. And don't forget, Dr. Allen has a wonderful book on, and yes, Switchboard's asking, are you ready for calls? We certainly are. Dr. Allen's latest book, It's a Man's World and a Woman's Universe, an excellent Christmas gift idea, or Hanukkah, or Kwanzaa, or whatever, spirit of the season. Highly recommend it, along with other beautiful books and videos and, oh my goodness, all sorts of things, which we have at oneistore.com. Highly recommend you take a peek there. If you are for someone on your list. Hello, caller. You're live with Dr. Allen.
Hi, Dr. Allen. Yes, I do have a question.
What is it?
My ex-boyfriend messaged me on the day that Joe Biden won the election after 6 months of silence. And I don't know I don't know what to make of this.
So I responded he's been to gone message. For 6 months?
Yes.
Okay, and you know that 2 months of that is normal rumination. When did he leave you or did you leave him?
Well, we had a lot of back and forth breakup, but the last one, he ruined my birthday, so I left him.
Okay, he needs 8 weeks to ruminate, but he's already had his 8 weeks, right?
Yes, it's been 6 months.
Okay, and if you've ever heard me say this, you'll recognize it. It's after he's been able to stay away from you for 8 weeks. If he thinks about you in the future, like I've got people that are remembering old girlfriends and boyfriends, you know, from high school or from college. So if he pops up after the 8 weeks, that means he's made a revelation within himself that you were more valuable than he estimated, and he wants another crack at you.
So thank you so much. So what is the best way? So he messaged me on the day Joe Biden won. He sort of said something about the election, and I responded back, but there has been silence between us, and I don't want to initiate anything back.
You don't want to write a hi bye letter to him?
I already wrote it.
Have you given it to him?
Yes.
Back, and what was his response to it?
I set some conditions to be able to get back to that relationship. To spend more non-sexual time together, to have a formal introduction to his friends and family, to use more respectful language when he talked about me. So some basic, rules.
Did you have any conversation about intercourse?
But at the time, the intercourse, even though it was an issue, there were a lot of other issues that made us break up with each other.
But did you have intercourse with him while you were negotiating the issues?
No, I stopped it.
Okay, so you did not have intercourse because you never got committed.
We got committed in the beginning. We had intercourse when we were in a relationship, but when the relationship started to crack down...
I got it. You stopped the intercourse, which is smart, because you were finding out that he was not 51% valuable. But now he's coming back.
So it's been 4 weeks since he texted me, and he hasn't reached back again. So
wait a minute.
I'm honestly confused.
Wait. Did you respond to that reach out?
Yes.
And was it a positive one about I'm willing to talk, or was it a negative one?
It was positive, but it was not about us, because he basically said something about Biden winning the election, so I responded to that.
I see. So he did not turn the call into a lead towards romance.
No, and it was very strange, and I'm confused because I was like, what is going on?
Well, that call was how long ago from today?
4 weeks ago.
4 weeks ago. He's right straight in the middle of the new 8 weeks, which means he's more in love with you.
Okay, so...
Because he knows you and has already left you once, but he has reached out. You have 4 more weeks before you assume he's coming back.
Okay. And what would be the best strategy to tell him, you know, to communicate about my wants and needs? Because that was our, my wants and needs in the relationship, because that was our major argument. He was not willing to hear my wants and needs.
Write. He didn't ask you for a date, though, did he?
No, nothing. He just said, right. You know, now everything is going to be okay after.
What you say to him in your letter is, if you're interested in dating me again, I'm going to write what I don't want in this note back to you.
Okay.
It's what you don't. Remember, women get what they want by knowing what they don't want. Because
correct.
Don't want is based on feel bad, not do bad.
Okay.
If men don't know what they want, they mold women into being mamas, which is a man.
I got
it. So will you please use his reach out as a reason to write, thank you so much for reaching out, but I want to say again what I did not get when we were together, and I still want.
Should I wait 8 weeks or should I?
No, you don't have to wait 8 weeks because he's reached out already. You see? It's 4 weeks and he's reached out. He's in the middle of the 8 weeks. You've already given him one hi-bye letter. That's what I call a hi-bye. That one you have to wait for 8 weeks before you give it. This one, he's reached out and you want to give him in depth of what you don't want, like you had in the relationship with him.
Thank you. So I understand that. And I have a question. The election was romance free. So my question is, if I send him everything that was, that went wrong or the things that I didn't want in that relationship, he may say, hey, look, I'm not really interested in you. I just said something about Biden winning an election. And I'm sort of cautious because I want him to be the one that reaches me or pursues me. Otherwise, he's not giving me any signal.
He's already done it with the Biden excuse. He's already done it. He's 4 weeks into the second 8 week run. So it's not a high buy. You've already done a high buy. This one is, you've reached out to me to give me a quote or a statement, but I'm reminding you in case you're thinking about dating me, not comfortable with this, and this.
Okay.
You see, women get what they want by knowing what they don't want again.
I got it.
All right.
Okay.
So good luck. And this is based on the second run that he appreciates you more for some reason. And he'll let you know what that is when and if you get together. But right now, we want to remind him of why you're not with him from the first run.
My hesitation is because he has manipulated me before. When things went wrong, he was like, I'm not interested. And he was the one who left earlier.
Feel free to require, do you want to get married to him?
Yeah.
Then tell him, now, based on the history that you've had with him, you require an engagement ring. And
that's
maybe,
what I'm thinking.
Tentatively, a wedding date.
Okay. Well, thank you, Dr. Allen. I got my answers, and
Then call us back and tell us what he said.
Perfect. I will. Thank you.
Good.
Thank you, caller.
Bye, ladies. Bye.
Bye. I'll be looking forward to that update.
You see, what's interesting is you can't predict when they'll call in for the second run. But the second time they come back, you can't tell if it's 8 weeks or 10 weeks or whatever it is. But you know he's fallen more in love. He's fallen more in love.
Oh, yeah. All right. We have a live caller with us. Caller, you're live on the air with us. You have a question?
Yes. Hi, Dr. Pat. Thanks for taking my question. Hi. So I'm calling. I've called a few times. I'm in a conversation with my ex about a financial loan that he wanted to support me with.
Ex-boyfriend, ex-husband, ex-what?
Ex-boyfriend.
Okay. Got it.
And he said he would help, and then... So then he had said, okay, I can help, and then I can help by the end of the year. So he was kind of pushing it out, and so I checked in with him on December 1st about it, as I said I would, and I didn't hear anything back. And so I'm wondering what the best thing to do, or if there's something I need to, how I can follow up with him again. I don't want to obviously bug him or anything. I'm just, he said he wanted to do it, so...
Well, then send him an email or text or something. You said that by the end of the year, you would know if you could help me. I have not heard from you, and I'm confirming that you cannot help me.
Okay. And then when would I send that?
You would send it any time before the end of the year. It's in December now.
Right.
What you're getting is a confirmation that he gave you about whether he could or couldn't do it by the end of the year. So you're doing a database check.
Yeah.
Is that what you want?
You said I'm not. Yeah, you said I'm not criticizing him. I didn't mean to cut you off. I was wondering if you had anything else to add.
No, all you're doing is checking the data that he put on the table. I will know by the end of the year, and you will refer to that. You said you'd let me know some way if you could or couldn't help me by the end of the year. It is now December 10th. Do you know if you can help me? If I don't hear from you, I will assume that you're saying no.
Because he's been really, he's been very responsive up until this point. And I said that already once. I said, hey, let me know either way. You said you could. He said yes by the end of the year. So I already checked in again, so I'll have to check in one more time.
Why not?
So it's the first time I don't know. It's just the first time he hasn't responded. And so I'm just curious what the next move is.
This is a business move. So find out what the business answer is. Yes, I can. No, I can't. Don't be mad at him if he can't. He just can't.
Yeah. Is there a reason why he's saying yes, Ben, if he can't?
To keep you friends as long as he can, even though the answer looks like no. But don't presume no. Get an answer no. If you can't get an answer, a non-answer is no. Okay? But you have to ask for it, or you haven't made your effort.
Yeah. You said that you would be able to help by the end of December. I haven't heard from you. So will you let me know either way?
No, you already did that.
Okay.
He said, I'll let you know by the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
So you're calling and saying, you said you'd let me know by the end of the year. Is it a possible you will or you will not? If you don't answer, okay, I will assume you're not going to help me.
Okay, got it.
Yep. Okay.
Okay.
But
yes,
thank
Dr.
you
Pat.
For considering it.
Uh-huh. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome. Good luck.
Thanks.
Thank you, caller. Okay. Checking in with our switchboard.
This call was a little different because generally speaking, you get your answer. And the second one, which is can be even years later, you know, from college, wherever, is unique because he's grown in the meantime and is still interested. You see?
Yeah, I do see. I think it's interesting that it's, you know, they come back in 8 weeks, but then sometimes they come back in 2 years.
And it's sometimes they come back in 4 weeks and you never hear from them again. We do not know what his answer is going to be.
Right. And then there's other factors, too. I think especially right now with everything there's factors that are really affecting how people
courtships have gone into a great stress. And I love it that 20, 30, 40 years ago, I knew that someday I would help set up courtships again.
Well, I think it's pretty amazing, actually. Hello? It's encouraging. Hi, caller, you're live with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Yes. Hi, Dr. Pat, and hi, Kelly.
Hi there. Hi there. What can we do for you?
My question about masculine. I started posting on Facebook these pictures that I'm creating of like, it's like I made up a fictitious, I call him my vegan boyfriend. I made up this fictitious character, and then I post things like.
And how did you make him up? Did you write a story? Did you paint a picture? Did you draw one?
They're just coloring. They're pictures, like coloring.
Oh, they're pictures, and you colored them with crayons, pastels, watercolors.
It's computerized pictures. So
I see computer. You made pictures with the computer. All right. And what were the pictures of?
It's like my vegan boyfriend walking me along the beach on a date, or my vegan friend loves cooking for me, or, you know, just kind of like my vegan boyfriend invited me to see a improv show online tonight. You know, it's like kind of like things I want, which that's why I'm asking, is it masculine to post like this is what I want from a boyfriend, even though I'm putting it up as like kind of like a joke?
Well, jokes have true meanings.
Well, it's true.
When you draw pictures, you're doing something that appeals to the eyes.
Yeah, and I love pictures. And
I appreciate that. And then men very regularly pick with their eyes. Harvard did a study in the 90s, and they asked 10,000 people on campus, why did you mate, or why did you marry, which is mating with a government contract? 2/3 of men mate and marry for sensual and sexual stability. 1/3 of men mate and marry for stature and financial stability. My wife is the daughter of so-and-so who owns this. and I work for him. So he's marrying or married to her for stature and security. Two-thirds of women meet and marry for financial status and security. One-third of women mate and marry for sexual and sensual security. In reality, they're usually women postmenopausal, and they're called cougars. So you like to draw pictures of men you visualize as desirable. Is that true?
Yeah, I'm drawing them like doing things like he's a social activist or doing things I envision would be attractive to me for a boyfriend to do.
All right. So he's going to be an activist, has to be somewhat of an actor. Men create off their feminine, and masculine women love it. So
that was only one picture. The other ones are of him taking me like for a walk in the park or taking me like.
But are they pictures? Are they pictures of?
Right.
So
they're pictures.
That is still a sensuous activity.
Okay, so it's not too masculine, putting out there like my dream vision of a guy that I would want in pictures.
Yes, but it appeals to his eyes because you want a sensual sexual encounter. Is that correct?
Yeah, but when you say it like that, I'm nervous because that was my last relationship and it didn't go well.
Because you ended up wanting to get paid, not laid. We're all trying
to
get laid, which is sensual and sexual. Young men and older women like sensual and sexual. Older men and younger women, that's why older men go with younger women, like sensual and sexual.
Yeah, I like it too, but I don't want to be in a relationship like my last one where he was sensual and sexual with other people too. So I want a committed monogamous relationship.
All right. So you want to have a man. Do you want to get laid or paid?
Paid.
You want to get paid? Well, then you have to respect the man for what he's doing that can provide for you and he and the kids and whatever. You see, do you want to be respected or cherished first?
Cherished.
And cherished is the one that needs to get paid. Do you see? Because
yes,
he's responsible for providing for you, and he expects to be respected so that he can cherish you. We're all trying to get laid or paid, and we're all trying to get respected or cherished first. Most women want to get paid, and most men want to get laid.
Right.
But I have no problem with women that want to get laid being married to men that want to get paid. They're usually very creative men. They're artists, musicians, and they basically will be a very sensual, sexual partner for a very masculine woman who may be an executive or a lawyer or whatever, who is out there getting paid and helping the man she's with create his feminine artistry, whatever it is.
Yeah, I understand that. And I don't want to promote myself as somebody who wants to get laid. So if that's what these pictures are doing on Facebook,
it
then
doesn't. But it says that you're a sensual, sexual woman.
That is true, but I don't want to be with a partner who's also incapable of being monogamous.
Okay, that's the point. So you're not going to draw good pinup pictures of a man that will attract a sensuous man who may not be able or willing or want to earn a living with you.
So I should not post these pictures, is that what I'm hearing?
It gives an image of you as a woman that likes sensuous men.
Yeah, and well, it's like an image of like a couple kissing on the sunset. And it's like my vegan boyfriend took me to a walk on the beach.
Are you saying vegan? Are you using the word vegan?
Yes, I'm saying like my romantic vegan boyfriend did this for me today, and then I draw it in a picture. Like he took me on a sunset beach walk.
But that's
very
sensuous. You felt very cherished, I think.
Yeah, and so that's what I just, but I don't want to promote it if it's masculine or it's attracting guys that just want to get
dear,
paid.
It's women create pictures and babies and houses and whatever. Women create with their masculine.
Okay.
Being a mother is a masculine experience. The quality of the treatment is, we're all male and we're all female. Women have male anima. Women have female bodies, but they have male souls called the animus. Now, you're drawing the pictures, that's male. But what you're drawing is men that you love because they cherish you.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, I just described what you're doing.
Okay. But it's
so are you going to keep
not,
it up?
I enjoy doing it very, very much. And
well,
I
then keep
like,
doing them.
Yeah, I just didn't want to put it out there if it was masculine and going to attract, players.
Masculine would be your body measurements.
Okay. I don't do that. Mine are very innocent cartoons, but kind of cute.
They have feelings.
Yeah, it's like romantic, or he did this heroic thing, or he did this sweet thing. He did, like,
that
he cares about.
You are telling him and the world how you feel cherished by him.
Right. Okay. So,
and you're
okay.
doing it by the use of artistry, which is masculine for a woman. You see?
Okay.
But there's nothing wrong because the quality of it is sensitive and feminine.
Right. I'm not posting anything like obscene at all. Like they're very innocent. But okay. I'm glad I feel better about doing it, posting
good.
Them because I such enjoy it.
And
Carl
Jung's wife wrote a book, Anima Animus.
Yes.
If you're interested in reading a book about the soul of a man and the soul of a woman.
Okay. That's one I haven't yet gotten. I've gotten all the other ones you recommend.
Wow.
Many of them.
Yeah,
many of them, not all.
Good. Okay.
Okay, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Have fun.
All right, bye.
Bye.
Thank you, caller. All right. Oh. Did we drop Dr. Pat? We might have dropped Dr. Pat.
Hello?
Oh, there you are. You're back. Yay. Okay. Let's see with our switchboard and see if we've got some more calls. Whip, he's adding one right now. He's amazing. Rounding at the switchboard, the best. Absolutely love him. Thank you, caller. You're all live on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Hello, Dr. Allen. Hello, Kelly. Last week I called you. It's about me intuitively reaching out to a man that I was attached to for more than 2 years. And you responded very quickly and within a couple of hours and told me that he emigrated to Canada. And we had some conversations back and forth, and then it stopped. And I called you last week, what to do about it. It was after 2 weeks when I called you last week. He reached out again. He responded again a couple of days ago. And he told me that he was he said, sorry, I was very busy. Sorry, I didn't think of replying, but there was a lot going on. And he told me that he resigned. It didn't went well with his work in Canada. And he said he would return for Christmas. And a couple of days later, that was today, he told me he didn't know what to do after Christmas. And a couple of days ago, he said he was traveling around Canada and he just would go back for Christmas. And then again to Canada. And now he didn't know what to do in Canada after Christmas. And he told me that he would be back next week.
He sounds like he's asking if he can live with you.
Yes, but it was kind of a shock because I really
thought... Well, I understand it's a shock, but... Are you willing to rent a room? You dated him years ago?
Yes, I did. He has his own house here still.
Oh, he has a house here.
Yes.
So he doesn't need room. So are you interested in building a bridge with him?
Yes, I was trying to.
Do you want to date him again?
Yes, I would. And he accepted my friendship, my offer for friendship. He accepted it. He said, sure, we can be friends. It's okay. I would like that. So he
offered a friendship, and he has a house, you, and you sound like you're available. So would you send him a message that you are available to be his friend? And what can you do to help him do it?
I already told him I was available to be his friend. I'm not sure what you mean by being a friend.
What I mean is either a friend in separate bedrooms with no special perks, or a friend with perks, which means lovers, or... You don't want sex unless you're engaged. Is he someone you want to marry?
Yes, I would, I think.
Then you want to unless you're engaged to him.
I told him that in April in a high bye letter, which he didn't respond to.
Oh, you already did that. And he said no, or he said yes.
He never replied to the high-bye letter in April. And I think that was because he lived in Canada already.
Well, now it sounds like he's replying.
Mm-hmm. What should I do?
What you need to do is send him a note or a letter or a phone call that says, what can I do to help you and I do good?
And
what he wants. You don't know what he wants. He's being evasive.
Yes, I reached out to him about 3 weeks ago, intuitively.
Oh, you were the first to reach out, not him?
Yes, this time. He always reached out to me. And then
you reached out to him?
Yes.
All right. What is it you want from him? You have the right to act like a man. He has a right to act like the woman, which he's doing. What do you want to ask him to do? I want you to live with me, and we don't need to be married, but I do need to be engaged. Do you want to propose that to him?
Can I propose that when we haven't even seen each other in 2 years?
Of course.
At the time, yes.
You then have already gone through your wedding. Women marry when they let penises in their mouth, anus, or vagina. Men marry when they form rental agreements, marriages. You see, this man is saying, I want to do something. He's now living in Canada.
Yes. But he's
you
packing
want
his
him?
Things.
What?
He's packing his things to return to Germany.
To go to Germany. Well, get a message to him that you're inviting him to get engaged and live with you.
Is that a manly thing to do? A male
Darling,
thing to do?
He's, well, yes, but he's being female right now.
Okay, but I was confused about that because I checked all the messages and he never talks about his feelings. So I'm a bit confused.
Yes, he did. He's confused about what to do now.
He never said he was confused. I was confused. He never said he was confused.
He didn't know whether he wanted to live in Canada or
he
in
sure
America.
Was. No, he lived in Germany. I live in Germany now.
Okay.
He lived in Germany, okay. And I found out with the intuitive message I sent him about 3 weeks ago that he
now remember
he was immigrating.
Wait, do men design the solutions intuitively or instantly? You still love this man, is that correct?
Yes, I found out. Yes, I do.
Well, why don't you propose to him? You've already physically married him.
Yes, I stopped
that's
that.
Why he, and what?
I stopped that at the time. And I told him I only wanted
to see
him. I
understand, but he's opened it up now. I heard that he wants to be with you during this transition time. Do you want to be with him?
Yes, I would like that.
Then see if he will put a ring on your finger to give you honor and come and live with you until you and he decide where you're going or where you're not going.
Okay.
I hear him inviting you to invite him.
Do you think so? Because he can go to his own house and...
I know, but his own house does not. Your house is near his house, too?
It's about 1.5 hours away by car.
That's not far. That's not far. Do you want to say, I am willing to be your friend? Now, you don't have to answer sex because I want him to ask for the sex. And if he asks for the sex, you've got to have the ring. But if he only wants to rent a room or be your friend, then find that out now while he's deciding.
Okay, so your suggestion is, if I'm right, that I propose to him to stay with me here in my house?
No,
and,
not propose it to him. Say, do you want to rent a room in my home in Germany?
Mm-hmm.
Which is simply a business a business offer. He sounds like he wants to be near you.
Okay, so I do him a business offer, a room in my house.
Well, I mean, if you're wanting that, he wants to know if he's living in Canada or he's living in Germany.
You mean he wants to know if someone is waiting for him?
That's what he's waiting for. I hear him wanting to know if you're willing to be his friend, with or without sex, in Germany.
Okay, so I ask him to if he wants to rent a room with me.
Well, what you do, would you read what he wrote you, please?
The last things are...
What did he say?
The last thing about 2 weeks ago was I asked him to be to be friends, and he said, "What do you mean?" I said, "Well, just be friends. I trust you. Hopefully you trust me, and we can be friends, be there when you need me." Or
that's you offering him no sex, but friendship.
No, friendship. And he didn't reply. He just said, "Sorry, I don't know how to answer this. There's a lot going on." And then nothing. And 2 weeks later, he told me, he said, "Sorry again, I didn't think of replying you. There was really a lot going on. I resigned. It didn't go well with my work. I don't fit here." And he said, "I'm traveling around the north of Canada right now. And the only thing I know is that I will be back for Christmas days."
All right.
That's what he said. And today he said, "I am stopping traveling around, and right now I'm going back to my apartment in Canada, get my stuff, and I will go back within a week
to Germany."
Back to Germany. Yes. And he said,
true.
I don't know what the next step will be, but that's what I'm going to do right now. Because the country is going in lockdown.
What that sounds like is he got your message that you would be friends, but I think he wanted the sex added, but I don't want you to add the sex until you have a commitment. But I hear him coming back. Is there anything, now for you to say to him, is there anything I can do to help you do your move to Germany?
Sorry, is there anything I can do to? What did you say?
That would be, maybe he wants to stay in your house. He's got a house in Germany, though.
Yes, he has. Maybe he rented that. I don't know.
Oh, do you need a bedroom? Do you need a bedroom in Germany? If so, I have a bedroom for you.
Okay. I can say that. And I can say that I offer that as a friend.
As a friend. Not as a lover, as a friend. He didn't know what you meant by friendship.
No.
So we're saying if he needs a bedroom in Germany, and his house is an hour and a half away, which is okay, then let him know that he's welcome to use your bedroom while he's doing his plotting and planning.
Okay. So I don't have to propose him for engagement and anything else?
No, you don't have to do anything. You already offered him a friendship. We're just building on the friendship.
Okay, so I offer him...
We're not building on marriage.
I would just ask him if he needs a bedroom. If he needs a bedroom, he can stay in my house if he needs a bedroom.
That's perfect friendship. Perfect friendship.
Okay, and only if he goes into trying to get more out of the friendship in sex
if
or anything, then I can
get you to have sex with him. You don't do that unless you're engaged to him and he's living with you.
Okay. Okay.
But that's for him to decide. You're
okay.
Simply being a friend offering him a room.
Okay, I got it now because it was very confusing. The situation changed.
I know it was confusing when you told me what he said, because it was a little romantic, and then it was a little bit more business, and then it was nothing. So let's offer him a bedroom in case he needs one.
And I told him what he asked me what I was doing and how things were going. And I told him I was in the middle of applying for a new job. And he said he wished me good luck with the kisses and everything. He's not really with much
kisses normally. Is the job in Canada or?
No,
or
my job is here.
Germany. Where?
My job. This was about my job. He asked me about my
job. I know
job
that,
and
but what country was it in?
In Germany, it is.
All right. Well, what I'm hearing is he's coming back to Germany. He's going to get his stuff from Canada, and he wants to do something in Germany.
Yes, I think so.
I think so, too. So see if he needs a bedroom.
Okay, and then we'll go on from there. I'm not used to this. I never had friendship with men. I learned from you that it's better
to have
friendship.
I know that, dear, but good love affairs are always based on good friendship. So
yes,
let's be a good friend. You already told him you wanted to be his friend.
Yes,
okay?
I did. Yes.
All right.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much.
Good luck.
Thank you, Dr. Ellen.
Thank you, Carol. Bye-bye. All righty. Well, we've got some more calls coming in. And
okay.
We're just waiting for a good hook. Very good. Here we go. Well, it's nice having Patricia. Her book is really beautiful.
I know it, dear. It really
is. Really pretty book. All right.
It almost looks like a coffee table book.
Hello. It does. Hi, caller, you're live with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question? Hello. Caller, are you there?
Sorry.
Okay.
Hello.
Where are we going?
Carla, you're live with us.
Oh, sorry. So my question is, Dr. Ellen, hi, Callie. How do you...
What is your question?
How do you manage the political differences and opinions?
What kind of differences?
Recently I met through the dating website. A gentleman approached me and asked for a date. So we went out on a date, and in our conversation, I found out that he voted to the opposite party that I voted for. And I think it's common to have all the people feeling so focused on other qualities this individual had, but I also feel kind of disturbed because what we have supported for different political parties. I'm not really a political person, but I get so emotional, and I try not to get this to impact my personal life, but I have a hard time to not to think that way and try to ask him.
Kelly, can you boil it down to a question?
Yeah, she has a question about what she can do. How do you overcome political differences? She voted for one candidate in the present election, and he voted for another one. I would say that's a compatibility issue.
That's true, because religion and politics...
A rather large one in this particular electoral race.
Yes. So, if you want to use politics as a reason to be incompatible, do it. When you have an issue like that, you either decide that it's not going to work and don't have a relationship, or you decide it is the one item you don't talk about. Religion and politics are very sensitive personal issues, and many times people are not compatible, but they are compatible chemistry-wise, and chemistry is a great glue to keep people together when they disagree on an item that can be done privately without open discussion. So, do you want to be a fellow politician, or do you want to be an individual with your, quote, boyfriend? Is he 51% valuable if you take politics out of your communication?
I don't know. This is still in the process of discovery. We have gone on for a few dates, a lot of good quality.
Okay, that's fine. But you already know something that's incompatible. Is it a sensitive emotional issue that will not be allowed to live under the rug?
I do not know, and that's one thing.
I'm talking to you. Do you need to be with a political, simpatico person? Is that a deal breaker for you?
I wish I know. I am trying to see if there is a way not to make this a laser-focused point.
Then why don't you make it off communication? You don't talk about politics.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, boil down to it.
You want to try that for a month?
I will definitely try that. So my detailed question is, he has a party that he is going to. There's a Christmas party with the people are bringing responses.
Can you go there and not talk politics?
Well, I don't think people should go, because we really should be social distancing, and with the CDC require and asking people not to gather. This is not a family gathering. It is many
families. What you're talking about is the virus?
Yes. So
say so. I'm not going to endanger my life for a new date.
And so he said he's going, and he said if you like, I'd love to take you. I declined. But then I'm thinking, okay, when he gets back from the party, come to the weekend, I don't even feel comfortable to go out on dates because...
No, he's got to go in quarantine.
And so what do I say? Do I try to find excuses?
I require that you take, within quarantine time, a test for the virus.
Mm.
You do the regular medical service.
Okay. It's right now the relationship hasn't
get to the point that I feel comfortable to say, can you consider not to go? But I
just that's too mothering. That's too masculine. All you can say is, I am not wanting to go at the cost of the disease, but feel free to go. The only thing that I would require is that when you come home, you be in quarantine and get a test for the disease.
Okay.
I live with my daughter, and I live in a state of quarantine, and she says, go wherever you want to go, but when you go and come back, you've got to do quarantine, which is switched from 14 days down to 10, and you have to take a test.
Okay.
So that's acquiescing to the reality of today's world. And then you see how compatible you are.
The other issue is, I know I don't want to keep on hammering him and ask him why the heck he voted how he voted, because I already decided.
We already handled that. You can't talk religion and politics in a new relationship. It won't work.
What if he starts to talk about it and saying things I just really don't agree?
Then what you do, you have two choices. One is to say, you have every right to talk about politics, but I'm uncomfortable and we're not compatible. So either we don't talk politics or we don't date.
Oh my gosh. Okay. That sounds very cut and dry.
It's called decision making. In America, drive on the right side of the road, yellow line. In England, drive on the left side of the road, or you may die.
Okay. All right. That answered my question. I will give another month and see how things unfold.
Well, a month will cover the inauguration too.
Yeah, I'm really hoping things calm down so I don't get
then
so worked up.
Please respect him and allow him to choose, but that doesn't mean you have to date him.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you so much, Ellen.
Surely. Good luck. Good luck.
Thank you. Have a good night.
Thank you, caller.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. You're right, Dr. Allen. I think religion and politics are two hotbed issues. And I think if you lack compatibility in those two areas, it could lead to some very big knockdown, drag-out verbal arguments.
That's right. It can be done. It can be creative. But only if each person is allowed to be an individual.
Hello?
Hi, Collie. You're live on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
I do. Hi, Dr. Pat. Hi, Kelly.
Hi.
Hi. I have a question. I went through a breakup with my boyfriend.
You did? Why? What's the reason?
Around the ninth month, we fell apart because of our financial plan for marriage.
Okay, so you're incompatible financially?
Yes, but the more I reflect on it, I feel like maybe I could have compromised some and he could have compromised. So, yeah. Anyways, I'm having a second thought about it.
It's about finances.
Yes.
Do you believe in dollar-for-dollar donations or percentage according to who's got the most and who's got the least money?
I believe in breadwinner and homemaker.
You want a what?
Breadwinner and a homemaker.
Okay, you want a covenant relationship?
Yes. And he built. You want to
be the homemaker, and you want to be with the breadwinner.
Yes.
That's very traditional. Have you already talked about it with him?
From the very first date. And so suddenly when he switched it, then I was just so confused. And I got angry in the moment and broke up with him.
Well, what switched? Who switched?
He had a conversation with his parents, and they made him feel like I was taking advantage of him.
Okay, so they wanted a convenient relationship for their son, dollar for dollar.
Yes. Yes.
And you wanted homemaker, breadwinner.
Yes.
How old is your boyfriend?
28.
He's 28 years old, and he's still a mama's boy.
Yeah.
So he's not mature
you read that
enough.
Really fast.
What?
Dr. Pat, that was incredible how you read that, and I didn't even tell you anything else. Yes, I didn't need to.
When parents can tell a 28-year-old son that he can't date a certain woman because she wants a traditional relationship, I know I've got a mama's boy. Mama's the man, and daddy's the girl, and that's the way they set it up. So they want their son to be with a woman who they can control through him.
Yeah.
And that shows up when you have kids. You see? Oh, you can't live over there. That's a bad school district. In other words, there's two forms of families. One is a nuclear family in which a mom or a dad or maybe a grandpa or a grandma is the center of the family. Japanese used to do it, and Latinos used to do it, and still may do it. But a nuclear family is one in which each person is a little world unto themselves. So you get together for holidays, but you basically mind your own business once you're 18 years old. So it sounds like your boyfriend came from a very nuclear family that's headed up by either mother or dad or both of them, and they're running his life.
Yeah, he told me, I told my parents I would never date you again when I tried to like reach out to him afterwards.
That's right. And the other family is a cellular one, and whether it's like the body and all the cells. I said the wrong word. Nuclear is one head of the family, and everybody honors that head. Well, you better do that or grandpa's going to throw you out of the will. That's their favorite sentence. Cellular is, I'm going to marry this girl. Yeah, she's black, but I want to marry her. Oh, you're going to throw me out of the will? Oh, okay. She's more fun than the money. So, in other words, families come in styles, and you have to figure out what style it is, and you have to be compatible. There's three types of marriage: convenient, dollar for dollar, each work, each share chores; codependent, somebody pays for both of them; and covenant, which is one person is a breadwinner and one person is a homemaker. So they want a convenient relationship, and you want a covenant.
Yeah. And here's where my question came in at. So I really love the way he treated me. Like, I missed him so much. But I know that, you know, we may not be compatible, but I sent him a text maybe like, if we broke up in August, I sent him a text maybe like October, like a month ago. And I said, I said, hey, I was thinking about you. It would feel good if we could talk. I wanted to read him the hi-bye letter. So I said, what do you think? And he sent back the meanest response, and I was so confused because we've never had any meanness in our whole relationship. He sent back the meanest response.
Yeah, but you're getting serious. How long have you been dating him?
We were dating almost 9 months.
That's the point. First 3 months are perfect. Second 3 months are imperfect. And the third 3 months is when you negotiate to see if they're 51% valuable on the worst day.
Well, I guess he decided, I don't know, can you tell me what his response meant? He said, no, I don't want to talk. If you want to have fun, we can have fun, but I don't want anything else.
Okay. What it sounds like is he didn't tell you what the family told him to say.
Yeah.
Did you ever
learn what he was going to say? You said, I want to know what he was going to say yes.
Say yes to what?
I'm sorry, I missed your last question. You said what? What was the question?
You said you got to 9 months, and then there was an answer you wanted from him. What was the question?
I wanted to talk so that I could read him the hi-bye letter after we broke up. Well, yeah, hopefully. I was hoping that. But I just sent a text just to test the water. I said, hey, I'd like to talk to you. What do you think? And he said, no, I don't want to talk. And then he insulted me, and I've never even had sex with him. And he was just like, I only want to have fun, nothing else. So he wouldn't even talk to me.
He just wants what? What does he want?
Fun. Like sex, Dr. Pat. But we've never had sex. We never even, like, kissed really intimately. So I don't even know why he would act like that.
What I'm hearing is that this is the same mama's boy?
Yes.
Well, he's not free enough to negotiate with you.
He's not what?
Is he financially dependent upon his family?
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Is he?
We dependent.
Does he work for his family?
No.
They give him money?
He's the truck driver, and he's living with them. I didn't know any of that until I flew out to meet him.
And he's 28 years old?
Yeah.
So is your dad? Does your mom run the family?
They both run it.
Are they both men? Your mom and dad, do they fight a lot?
Not anymore. My dad's calmed down a lot since he had heart surgery.
Who's the head of the house now?
Mom.
Pardon?
My mom.
All right. Is your dad happy with your mom?
Yeah, he's complacent with it, yeah.
All right, so your mom is now your dad, and your dad is now your mom, and they're getting along fine.
Yes.
This man, who's the head of his house at home, mom or dad?
I don't know, because he told me his dad was the reason for our breakup. His dad said, I need to get a job, and I need to contribute 50-50. And he told me what his dad said. Oh.
Okay. So his dad may be the head of the house. Does the mom respect the dad?
No.
Well, what you've got is a man trained to be a woman and do what the parents say. So that's okay if you want to be in a codependent relationship in which they run your family. Is that okay with you?
No, it's not. I guess I was just trying to see if there was any hope for us, but he hasn't turned around since the text message, so.
So he's turned you down for a relationship of convenience.
Yeah, he didn't even give me the opportunity to even talk to him based on his family.
And his family, mom and dad, codependently said, we require that you be dependent upon our leadership for your relationship. So that's a codependent relationship.
Okay.
But none of this is a covenant.
Okay. Yeah.
Do you want to find a man that wants to be in a covenant? What?
I was just going to ask you, what do you think I should do? But you sound like you're saying that I should find someone else who wants to be in a covenant relationship.
Yes, because, but he, if he loves you, does he love you?
I thought he did, Dr. Pat. Everyone thought he did.
Well, then, when you leave to get a compatible husband, his parents may not hang on to him because he cuts them loose.
Mm-hmm.
This may be a crisis that brings a solution.
You mean he'll wait till I'm engaged to pop back up?
Not with him. He can't get engaged to you until you promise to be in a convenient dollar-for-dollar relationship.
Okay.
You've got to tell him you have a right to do it that way, where both of you work. I want a covenant in which I'm a homemaker with kids and taking care of you, husband, and you are making a living somewhere that pays for the bills. So we're not compatible, so I'm going to date other men until I find one that's compatible, and you can do the same. But he, if he loves you enough, may decide to say, I don't want to do it my parents' way. I want to do it your way. So he may come around.
So what's my position right now, Dr. Pat?
What's your position now? What you should do is to say, either say, I will work dollar for dollar with you and we can marry with your parents' approval. Or you will say, I want to be a wife and a mother and I want to be with the man that wants me to be a wife and a mother. So if we can't do that, we're not compatible. And I'll start dating other men. And you can find a woman that your parents approve of.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Dr. I appreciate it. Yes.
So
thank you.
Give it a go.
I will. Thank you so much.
All right. Good.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Okay, let's see if we've got some more calls coming in.
Okay.
Wonderful, followers that are
hello.
With us.
Hello.
Hi, caller, you're live on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Yes, I do. Hi, Dr. Pat.
What
hi, Kelly.
Is it? Hi.
So, a gentleman is courting me, and we met online.
Good.
Yes. And the problem is, though, that we're long distance. I live in California. He lives in London.
That's what they have airplanes for.
He actually invited me to meet him for the first time and to visit in London in January. But
good. So you're going to compromise and you're flying into London.
I'm open to it, but the problem is that there's this 14-day quarantine period for Americans that are entering London.
I understand
that. Mm-hmm. And well, he invited me to quarantine with him, but of course I declined that because we're not in a committed relationship. Like we would just be meeting for the first time.
You can be there with him. There are people mm-hmm. making mistakes living together in quarantine because they think that's smart. There's only one problem. When men get free sex, they often don't fall in love. Men play mm-hmm. with vaginas, but they fall in love with virtuous women that they know will not betray them with other men. So it's amazing. I've had cases coming where they met each other, were attracted, moved in together for quarantine, and then she bonds to him and he leaves her because he's picked her cherry, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
So do you want to meet him and virtuously spend the quarantine period?
I'd be open to that. And I check out his standpoint, you know, if that's a good idea, just because we would be meeting for the first time.
I got it. It's you two meeting each other and courting by being in the same rooms, because that's the way you have to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Are you interested enough? Is he able to pay for this creative way of meeting?
Yes, he's a man of means, so he's offered to cover the travel expenses.
Well, then for what reason? Now, the way to do it is, first of all, take a test to see what your status is, negative or positive, before you even get in the same room. Then doing mm-hmm. your quarantine, and then going into London or England, wherever you're going in England,
mm-hmm.
and then going home, knowing each other, but no intercourse, no oral, anal, or vaginal penetration, because that's where you lose your virtuous standing, and he has to have a virtuous woman to trust her.
Mm-hmm.
So it may be a two-bedroom. What?
Oh, that's what I had planned anyway, is to, you know, of course, not have any intercourse anyway. But I guess I was just...
Yes, I know, but I'm telling you, people are getting into quarantine and having sex, and that's ruining their friendship so that the man doesn't fall in love.
Mm-hmm.
Women are in love with themselves. That's why they have to know what they don't want. Men have to fall in love with the woman in order to take on the responsibility for her.
Mm-hmm.
Women give up a lot of independence when they mate and marry. Men take on a lot of responsibility when they mate or marry. So interestingly enough, this virus problem, the pandemic, is basically right on trail for what I teach. Young women and old men bond with oxytocin.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, they lose the ability to really build friendships because they're doing addictive sexuality. So do you want to get to know him by meeting him? It's like meeting somebody on a ship. You just don't sleep with them. You just don't. Well, sleeping with them is one thing. Having intercourse is another.
Right. Okay. That's a good way of thinking of it. Meeting on a ship, like on a cruise ship.
Yes.
Okay. I hadn't thought of that, thought of it like that.
I know. So that's why. In other words, for a valuable human being, you might create something that's virtuous and fits the circumstances of the planet.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right.
Well, thank you so much for your ideas.
You're welcome. I'm not a moralist. I'm a therapist. I only have to report child abuse, elder abuse, and disabled adult abuse. Well, the government doesn't care who you're making love or having sex with unless it's rape, and then they arrest you.
Mm-hmm.
Or child abuse, pedophilia. You see?
Yes. Well, thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
Wow.
Thank you, Carly. What was the name of that movie, Dr. Allen? Was that a Cary Grant movie? Was that An Affair to Remember on the cruise ship?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, what a movie. Ugh, what a man.
Yeah, really.
Big enough of him. Hi, caller. You're live on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
I have four questions.
We'll get to it.
Okay, so my first one is about Dr. Pat Allen saying that it's easier to, like, kind of push the arrow through after heartbreak. And I'm curious, what is that kind of, like, mentioning? Just, like, going through all the
pain. Here's what it is. He died, he divorced you, he ghosted you, and you start dating even though you're still madly in love with him. That's okay. Pushing the arrow through.
So, Dr. Pat Allen, what is your theory when it comes to ex-lovers? Like, what is the protocol in terms of dating?
The protocol is, listen to what I'm saying. Lovers cannot be friends until they're lovers with new people.
Okay. Okay.
Once you bond to somebody, that bonding is tremendously powerful. So, men and women, I really do not want them to be dating or relating to old boyfriends and girlfriends, because one of the best properties of being in love is jealousy. The book on that is Dangerous Passions by David Buss. If you're not jealous, if they're not jealous, they're not in love. They like you. They even love you, but they're not in love. Chemistry can keep you together when you don't like each other, because that's the way relationships work. You go back and forth from liking to not liking. But if you have good chemistry and you take care of the chemistry virtually, women are more generous. They tend to put men on a long leash and allow them to stay married with them. But men are invariably very, very judgmental about unfaithful wives and girlfriends.
Mm-hmm.
So what other questions do you have?
When it comes... Okay, so we're... We're not supposed to have sex before commitment.
No, wait. Sex is everything you taste, everything you touch, everything you smell, everything you look at, and everything you, what is the other one? Hear, hearing, talking, yeah. Having sex with somebody is strictly an animal event. Taste, touch, smell, see, and hear. Making love is a spiritual event. I call intercourse God's moment, because that's when God and you make babies. And that making babies and building countries and building homes and families is the greatest form of lovemaking. If you're a woman or a man, when you're having sex, you can tell you're having sex by the fact that the touch of that person, the kiss of that person, is not making love. Having sex is not making love. People who like having sex have to keep upping the stature of the sex. Pretty soon they're having snuff sex or some kind of painful thing because they're getting bored with their normal sex. People who make love, and I'm going to say this to men who know how to make love can make love all of their life. It may take them all night to do what they used to do all night, but making love will get that penis up better than any pill. Having sex is strictly an animal event.
Okay. So I was asking about that because how can we set boundaries in terms of knowing that we don't want to have intercourse and allow him inside, but foreplay may be on the table? Like, I haven't really been successful in terms of allowing foreplay but not allowing intercourse. So what?
Yes, that's right. That's exactly right. I have no problem with any form of affection other than penile insertion in anus, vagina, and mouth.
So should we say that beforehand?
Honey, the only time you can say it is when you say, I really appreciate you want to make love to me. He doesn't. He wants to have sex. I really appreciate that you want to make love to me, but I don't want to bond and fall in love with someone who's not my best friend. So I will be as affectionate as you and I can create, which is foreplay.
Okay.
But I will not have oral, anal, and vaginal sex. I will only make love.
It happens in the moment. You have to say it as it happens.
You have to say it as it's asked for. You have to say it as he's taking your clothes off.
Wow. That's a lot of pressure, but I understand. My last question, well, I'm kind of on my second one, but I might cut it short. I just want to know, don't let me forget. So my other question is about, oh my gosh, I'm forgetting. Well, I just wanted to ask, feminine women want to be paid. So I have, I used to like guys that look attractive, and I've tried to change. My question is, is there a way to date a man that's attractive but also get a good deal from him
it's called don't have intercourse with him.
Okay.
Until he's boyfriend, girlfriend, at least. I believe in oral agreements. If your instincts tell you he's telling the truth, You can take a chance on making a boyfriend-girlfriend commitment, but be sure you're careful because sex diseases are terrible.
I actually think that's all of my questions.
This virus thing, what?
No, go ahead. I'm just listening.
This virus thing is the same as STDs.
Wow. Wow.
In the old Neanderthal days and so before there were gynecologists, women died of sex and birthing babies. Died.
Wow.
And you know what's really interesting?
What?
You get talked into having casual sex, oral, anal, and vaginal.
Mm-hmm.
And then you marry him.
Right.
And then you come home 5 minutes late from work, and your husband says, "Who was he?" And you say, "What are you talking about? Who was he? Look, you gave me sex. I don't know if you gave him sex." It's really something to watch a man be mad because he knew he wasn't supposed to get this intercourse. They know they're not supposed to get the free sex. But their bodies say, "I want it anyway." And they regret it because what?
My last question, and it's a little, I don't know if it's in the scope of this conversation. I wanted to reach out about trying to get therapy for sexual assault. And I was just curious if you had resources.
For sexual assault?
Yes.
Are you saying EMDR?
Maybe.
Or there's a new form, which is electromagnetic, called TMS. Transcranial, it works with the right and the left lobe in the brain and etch-a-sketches off the imprinting of the abuse, especially sexual abuse.
Okay.
So almost every major city in America, are you in America?
Yes.
Okay, almost every city has a TMS center.
Okay.
They do a circle of these electromagnetic treatments, which is literally an extension of shock treatment, is six experiences. And I've seen it. I've been working with people. It's now under insurance. But when I first started doing it, it was like 10 years ago, I got some people that were in TMS training treatment.
Okay.
And at that time, they were very expensive treatments, but they worked.
Okay.
And now, each city has a TMS center, major city.
Okay, thank you.
Welcome.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye, caller. Hey, Dr. Allen, we're out of time. What you got to say before we leave?
The only way out of a negative feeling is a positive decision. What do I want that I don't have? What do I have that I don't want? And when can I do something about it?
Exactly. Hey, everyone, we love you. We want to thank the One Institute for bringing us here. Listen to our archives on latalkradio.com and visit What I Store to get all of the goodies for the people on your gift list. Until next week, we love you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.